Good morning, friends. During my most recent visit to Secunderabad, during the Diwali time frame, I noticed that the kids were in a different rhythm than what we would be in during this time of the year. Secunderabad boasts great weather during November. The days are warm and the nights offer a taste of hill station weather. This dawn, I found myself burrowing into the mattress in the quest to keep warm and cozy. The Solapuri blanket was not enough, and my usual night dress comprising of a banyan, an A-shirt, and pyjamas were not measuring up either. In my sleep, I could hear our milkman's arrival at the gate, and I buried my head deeper in the pillow in an effort to ignore the ensuing conversation between the milkman and my mother, which would be the same every day. "Looks like there is more water in the milk," she would go on. I started to reminisce on what I would do during this time of the year as a kid growing up in Secunderabad. We had just celebrated Diwali, the Indian festival of lights, and our streets bore the telltale marks of the thunders, sutli bombs, ground chakras, and anars, which were called chichubuddis, and the horrible black serpents, which left their black marks everywhere. All my friends and I had usually a grand time celebrating Diwali. But we were even more keen to celebrate Sankranti in the month of January. You see, Sankranti was very special to us kids, not because of any religious significance, but because of kites. Yes, kites. This time of the year is like the NFL season in US. The tension gradually builds up and culminates with the Super Bowl of the kite season, the Sankranti festival. Sankranti is celebrated as a festival of harvest in India, similar to Thanksgiving in US. It signifies the end of a bountiful harvest. Preparing delicious sweets like karanji, chakli, murkus, and gulpoli occupied our mother's attention, while we kids had something more exciting to prepare, the manja mix. Manja is a thread that is coated with a special mixture in order to make the thread razor sharp. And manja is the weapon that is used to cut off the other kites in the kite wars. And to us kids, Sankranti was the shock and awe of kites. Manja is made from a strong thread, glue, turmeric or food color, and some other exotic ingredients. It is an art. However, making manja is an elaborate endeavor. In order to impart a razor sharp edge to our manja, we needed a material that was light and sharp. So, the quest for great manja began with a visit to a local recycle mart, a raddi wala, you see. There, we would buy a couple of empty soda bottles. These bottles were first washed. And then, while our mothers were enjoying an afternoon siesta, we would sneak into our kitchen and carry the heavy stone grinder into the backyard. There, the soda bottles were crushed into super fine powder or talc. Now, these soda bottles were probably the same bottles which thousands of upper middle class citizens in India used to guzzle down their favorite soda during those intense Indian summer heat. Or they might be the ones that we sip from after wiping the tops with our shirts, of course, with a straw. The glass talc was then mixed with cooked rice, food color, and cactus juice to form a dough called luddi. This dough was similar to the pizza dough which we see in Domino's or Papa John's. This process consumed a better part of the day, and after taking a snack break, we used to then proceed to make manja. We went to the roof of a house, called a terrace, and unrolled the thread from its spool and wound this thread between two pillars. These pillars were the remnants of the pillars which are used in the house building process in India. They are usually made of cement or concrete and steel. The thread was then uniformly coated with the manja dough. After drying for an hour or two in the hot Indian sun, the thread, now baptized manja, was ready to be rolled back into a kite spool called chakri. You could see the stars shimmer in the sky as if they were glittering diamonds stuck to an expensive black sari, while on our terrace, mosquitoes were buzzing around us kids, probably attracted by the scent of the innocent kids like us. That's when we realized we had finally produced our first manja. It was late. To us, our homemade manja was nothing less than that of the weapon of mass destruction. It was so sharp that one could slit a throat with it. Any self-respecting kite enthusiast's forefinger will bear the manja cuts, and those cuts are nasty. That night, after making our first manja for the season, it was rather difficult to sleep as we couldn't stop thinking about the ensuing kite wars. Our routine was rather set this time of the year. Attend school, fly kites, do homework, eat dinner, and sleep. At school, everything was revolving around the kite season, so we would discuss manja recipes and strategize about how to succeed in kite wars. The kite wars used to be called painch. The December holidays were just around the corner, and in the evening, you could see a lot of kites dotting the sky and chant of kite wars emanating from the roofs of the house. It was a rather safe pastime for us kids those days. Our parents did not have to be concerned that we were watching too much television or doing drugs or anything more sinister. Nevertheless, there was one danger in kite flying that was as dreadful as or even more worse than watching too much US network television. Remember the wardrobe malfunction a couple of years back during Super Bowl? And that danger was chasing after a fallen kite. There are countless stories of Indian children killed by a passing truck or a lorry, as we call them in India, or people getting electrocuted while trying to reach for that fallen kite. Santa was back at his house with Mrs. Claus working on his list again, and the famous crystal ball had dropped at Times Square. Sankranti was approaching as fast as that state road transport bus, which you had been waiting for the last half an hour, for some inexcusable reason, always comes and goes without stopping to let you in. I used to hate that so much. Every day, we got better at kite flying, and our manja had gained some serious respect in our neighborhood. It was Sankranti at last. After a nice coconut oil bath, the day began with prayers and a trip to the nearest temple. Then came the sumptuous breakfast of idli and dosa. After that, myself and some of the other kids in the neighborhood who did not have a terrace or an accessible terrace would gather on the roof of our house and start flying kites. In our excitement, we did not even hear our mothers yelling at us to wear hats for protecting against the sun. Anyway, the names of those kites were as hilarious as the words which are used in Dr. Seuss books. Guddidar, a blind or one-eyed, that is, Doppan, Namamdar, Batch, Langot, which is nothing but a brief or underwear, and my favorite, Guddi Langot, that is a blind Langot, are just a few of those kites' names that I remember. Very often, the masses also set up an elaborate sound speaker system on the terrace and play anything from the latest Bollywood tunes to the same Santoshi Ma song in an incessant loop. The elder folks who wanted to maintain an image also played ghazals and even Indian classical music. The college youth, in order to differentiate themselves as a breed apart, would indulge in Led Zeppelin, Beatles, and Foreigner. All the music stars in the world probably graced our respective terraces that day. One could probably make a remix song and even win a Grammy or two by just sampling the songs from all the terraces and invent a new genre of music like kite fusion. That noise pollution could even drive the Dalai Lama or Pope nuts, who are otherwise calm people. But we kids were presumably oblivious to all this, as we were very busy getting our kites off the terrace. Invariably, this morning, there would be no wind to give our kites a lift. So, my langoat, that is my kite, was right there, lying on the terrace, without getting a lift from the wind god. You know, talking about lift, Adnan Sami's famous music track, Lift Karade, was just the right thing to be playing on those dreadful loudspeakers that morning. Remember that song? Mujhko bhi to lift karade. That's what we needed. And then, thanks to the prayers that were offered earlier in the day, a breeze came by, and it was here to stay. No sooner than my langoat was ruling the sky, It got sucked hopelessly into an ongoing war between two Guddidars. Holy crap. How can a Langoat win against two Guddidars? All the three of us started to pull and I lost my Langoat to one of those Guddidars. At least, it was a pink Guddidar. Apparently, my manja did not work its magic this time. I had to roll up my manja in between the cheers and taunts of the other kites who had won the battle. But the war was still left to be fought. That day, I had several such exciting encounters and skirmishes with kites, and many of those times, my manja was able to work its charm indeed. We flew those Langoats and everything else that we had in our arsenal the whole day long and had a great time. The daylight had faded and we only came back down into our houses when we just could not see our kites anymore. And besides, the mosquitoes were having a party at our expense. While washing and cleaning up, we would not recognize ourselves. Our faces and arms were red and hurting. That tropical sun must have been scorching, huh? It was then that I realized that I had forgotten to wear that cricket hat that my mother had bought for me just a day earlier. Oh well, kids are always going to be kids. I was rudely awakened by the penetrating shrieks of monkeys as our dog chased after them. I suppose it was time to wake up, and today I was going to find out whether today's kids even knew how to make their own manja.